Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and Packers News. I am Ryan Wood alongside my colleague and partner, Tom Silverstein. We're still here at State Farm Stadium in the desert of Phoenix, Arizona. After another classic, and I say another, Tom, because it's been eight games and there's already three classics this year. You had what happened in San Francisco, you had the craziness in Cincinnati, and just when you think you can't see anything that would even get close to that, Rasul Douglas steps up in the end zone with A.J. Green looking like he's trying to block or something, and out of nowhere, a game that I think everybody that is associated with this team, follows this team, knows this team, thought was really not looking good and looked a lot like a crushing loss, out of nowhere it becomes a win. What a stunning victory. They're seventh straight. What was going through your mind?
I kept thinking, being transported back to 2015 and 2009, because these games were shaping up exactly like that. I mean, it was back and forth, both teams kind of exhausted, and both times Arizona finished it off and won it easily. And as they're driving down in the end zone, I thought it was over. I figured there's no way they stopped them. And I still don't really know how that happened, you know, how he missed A.J. Green and Rasul Douglas picks him off. What a story on him, too.
It was one of those plays that when it happened, like, no one could believe that it happened. Like, you almost, like, for me, my first reaction was, like, did that count? Like, was did I miss something? Did the ref, like, blow it dead? Or was there a flag? That actually happened. I'm with you, Spoon. I tweeted going into the fourth quarter. I was not here for the 2009 game, but I was here for 2015, and it felt a lot eerily similar to that 2015 game, even down to the fact that the Packers' receiving depth chart was depleted tonight, just like it was in 2015.
It was
a low-scoring game that really no one, because of the injury situation, because of the receiving situation, gave the Packers much of a chance going into to this stadium and winning, and there they were with a chance to win, leading by 3 points in both of those games, 13-10 in 2015. 17-14 tonight, going into the fourth quarter leading by three. And in both of those games, it looked like they weren't just able to finish. But then they did. And I filed the winning game story, a little vernacular for you in journalism, with 4:30 to go, and immediately started working on the losing game story because it just looked like that wasn't going to happen. And out of nowhere, it's like, oh, okay, the winning game story is fine. So imagine being the Pack. I mean, they didn't have their top three receivers. They didn't have their top two corners, Kevin King inactive because of the shoulder. They didn't have their all-pro left tackle, their all-pro pass rusher. They didn't have their starting center. And, oh, by the way, they didn't have their defensive coordinator. How did they win this game?
Well, I think the game evened up a lot when DeAndre Hopkins got hurt. I mean, you saw what he did to Eric Stokes on that deep ball in the first quarter. And once he went out with the hamstring injury, then it kind of evened the playing field, I think, a little bit. And I thought Green Bay, I thought the defensive game plan was excellent. And it was exactly what we kind of talked about during the week. Just play zone, you know, mix it up underneath, rush four or five, and keep him in the pocket. And they did a tremendous job. It really helped the Packers that the Cardinals were down to their third string center, and their right guard, Josh Jones, had been playing like crap. So they just dominated the inside. I mean, Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry were all over Kyler Murray from the beginning. And then Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary just did a great job of collapsing or keeping him from rushing outside.
It is really remarkable that Kyler Murray had 21 yards on just six scrambles tonight. 4 days after Taylor Heinicke almost went for 100. He had 95 rushing yards. Adrian Amos said it during the week that obviously the quarterback scrambling game is going to be a massive point of emphasis after what happened against Tyler Heinicke, because Kyler Murray's a little faster, and he is a little faster. Mm-hmm. He is really, really fast. He had a play tonight where Preston Smith was rushing early in the game, where he left the pocket and then came back to the pocket and threw it away to nobody. I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback do that. Usually when you leave the pocket, you leave the pocket and you stay there.
And I thought he was going to win the game running at the end because he had a couple of runs where, you know, it looked like there was one where if Adrian Amos didn't play his leverage exactly, he would have cut it back and walked into the end zone. And they were, you know, Amos played it really well. Plus, he was needed to get out of bounds to get the clock to stop. But, boy, I thought he was going to score.
I wonder why he didn't run. I haven't seen the Cardinals side. I don't know if you've had time. We just filed our stories on deadline, but I'm sure he was asked that. But How can you not run? Like he's a very fine quarterback. He can play in the pocket, but in that situation, how do you not just get him out of the pocket? Stay in the pocket, let him play. That's not
kind of. Yeah, it's kind of worried. I was kind of surprised that they didn't roll him out of the pocket. They don't really do that. They play the straight, college kind of spread offense, and they try to let him organically get outside the pocket, but he cannot stay inside the pocket and throw. He's too small. And the Packers figured that out. And I got to give Jerry Gray credit, and I wondered this, on the final play, would Joe Barry have done a zero blitz that caused Murray to get rid of it to A.J. Green and Rasul Douglas pick it off?
It was a good play call. They rushed seven, and Rasul Douglas talked after the game about how he knew it was going to be an all-out blitz, and he'd had to make a play because Kyler Murray is going to get rid of the ball quickly, and he's going to have no time. And he also knew that they were firmly in field goal range, so they had no interest in anything but the end zone. So, you know, he put the contextual clues together and arrived at the point where he knew it was coming to him, and it did, and he was there, and he made the play. Offensively, this game was a game where they didn't have their top three receivers. And it was very clear. Aaron Rodgers was 22 of 37 for 184 yards, two touchdowns, and 90.4 rating. And it wasn't that pretty.
Yeah, well, you see the 90.4 rating. Usually if he's 22 of 37 and has two TDs, it's like a 120 rating. Well, that just shows that he was dinking and dunking. You know, he couldn't get the ball down the field. They didn't have anybody. He had the one, it was a 33-yard pass to Robert Tonyan, which we got to address that here. But, it was, you know, throw it out in the flat and hope that Juwan Winfrey catches it and throw it to Aaron Jones, and that's kind of what the offense was.
We might as well address it now since you brought it up. Robert Tonyan slowly walking off the field after that long play. And Matt LaFleur did not want to get into the injury after the game, and understandably so. He don't know a whole lot right after the game, but did not sound very promising.
It was almost a eulogy.
It really sounded like that. It was an emotional eulogy.
Yeah, too. I mean, I think we know that his knee's torn up, and he's probably not coming back this year. Who knows? Miracle of miracles, he could. But the way LaFleur was talking, it was bad.
It's a brutal injury for this team. Robert Tonyan has very much become a field tilter. He's a guy that can tilt the field. And at that position, my goodness, you and I have both seen it. This team has been searching and searching and searching since 2013 to find a guy like that. And they found that guy ever so briefly in the last half of 2016 in Jared Cook. And just like that, as soon as he was here, he was gone. And they kept searching. And Robert Tonyan has been the JerMichael Finley. I mean, he's been that type of guy. And those guys are extremely rare in this league. I mean, they're one of the rarest commodities is a field-tilting tight end. His production's been down this year, but he's had big plays. He's even with his production down, he has had very big plays throughout the course of the year. And I think we were both on the same page that most likely the production would kind of even out. There'd be an uptick. Now, that possibility might not be there.
It's... huge weight on Josiah DeGuara's shoulders. And he's been kind of an enigma this year. You know, he was so promising last year and then tore his ACL and hasn't really been the same. Now, today he had a couple catches, but then he lines up in the wrong spot on fourth and goal on the 1 yard line, and they have to take a delay a game.
Brutal.
That's brutal. Inexcusable. Yeah, you cannot do that. And they had Rodgers love the play that they had. So he better get his act together, or you know they can't have that tight end position be the weakness as they go into the second half of the season.
Well, that's the question: is what do they do there? Because Mercedes Lewis has had some catches, but he's not a receiver at this point. Josiah DeGuara, do they bring someone in? Do you think that they or is that just they got to run with who they got?
Yeah, I think LaFleur's going to have to adjust his offense a little bit and go with maybe more three and maybe even four wide receiver sets. Maybe when Adams and Valdez-Scantling are back, they go with those two and Lazard and you know, sprinkle in some Equanimee St. Brown or Amari Rodgers, because they have to replicate that downfield.
Alan Lazard said after the Washington game, of course, it was National Tight Ends Day, which is just a phenomenal, phenomenal day. But he said that he felt like an honorary tight end because he had that big size. I wonder if they can use him in some of those tight
end
roles.
They can. They can.
You know, Alan Lazard could be pretty dangerous in that type of role. The difference is Robert Tonyan had really developed into an adequate blocker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a former college quarterback, transitioned to receiver at Indiana State, had no idea how to block when he got here, and he's really turned into a fine blocker. Alan Lazard's a very good blocker as well, but can he be in line and do those things? I don't know.
No, but they have Dominique Daphne who could, you know, they can have a Lazard and Mercedes Lewis in the game, and Lazard's tight to the formation or whatever. I think they can replicate that. They just got to, I don't know, it is a loss. It is a loss, especially, you know, if they have to help out one of their linemen again. That's a lot of what he's been doing.
A big part of tonight, we talked about it looked different. It looked like a team playing without its three receivers. How were they able to? They had a 91-yard touchdown drive at one point in the second.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I looked at them like, how on earth did they do that without their top three receivers? Well, they ran the football. And I think that tonight, it's got to be said, the Cardinals missed J.J. Watt. That defensive front was nothing like what the past 2 weeks have been with Washington and Chicago. But even still, the Packers ran the ball a ton. 37 passes for Aaron Rodgers, 34 runs. This was one of those nights, too, where you almost wonder why it was even 50-50. Just run the ball. As much as they ran, they could have ran more. 151 yards for 34 carries. The fourth time in five games that A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones have combined for at least 129 rushing yards. Tonight, they were 31 carries for 137 yards. A touchdown for Aaron Jones. This is the really good sign for this offense, because if they have the running game going, those receivers are coming back. Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who was here in Arizona, they're coming back. If they can continue this type of run production, it'd be a very dangerous offense.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, Jones had 110 total yards, which is outstanding. Now, there's a lot of people who are critical of LaFleur for some of his play calls down in the goal line, but I asked him about that because you could see that the Cardinals were stacking the line, and I didn't realize until I went back and looked at it real quickly. I mean, they had four defensive linemen and three linebackers there, and they had every hole plugged up. And like Roger said, you wouldn't have gotten anything running it. So he had to call passes. They were daring him to call passes. And really the one that they didn't get with Cobb on third and one, he should have had that. He could have caught that. That could have been his, third touchdown?
Yeah.
Do you have two?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers saw it on that fourth down, too, that was one that he had a touchdown there. If it wasn't just for the luck of the Cardinals defender, whose name is escaping me right now, getting his hand into the passing lane.
Yeah.
Getting it down.
Kennard, yeah.
He thought he had a touchdown there. So, yeah, it was puzzling. I don't know. Do you run it anyway there? I mean, you're on the goal. Like, put A.J. Dillon in and let him fall forward. He did that
know.
A few times tonight, too. That was part of how A.J. Dillon wasn't in that short yardage situation, especially considering the defensive look that the Cardinals were giving. You saw him two or three times tonight in short yardage just plow into the line and just push the pile 3 or 4 yards.
Yeah,
that's what the guy
they
does.
Did, but it wasn't with, you know, a goal line defense on the field. I think they'd had a lot more success when Arizona had its base defense on the field.
It was in the middle of the field.
I thought he did well to do that. He also, you know, I mean, the big thing is if he's got Davante Adams, they can't play that defense because they got to figure out a way to double him, and you know he's going to beat you if you play that kind of defense.
That was
down
a great
there.
Question on your part, a great point that you made in the postgame about how Davante Adams. We think of the yards and the catches and the touchdowns, but he changes the game. Even it's kind of like the Packers, it's kind of like Aaron Rodgers' hard count. All you see is the free plays, but it changes the game every snap because mm-hmm. it keeps the defense from getting off on the ball every snap, right? It's just that little delay. Davante Adams' influence on the game goes way beyond the fantasy numbers, and that's a great example of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can't play that defense, and maybe they do run it in, you know, with Dillon. I thought there was a really good point. I can't remember if it was LaFleur or Rodgers. I think it was Rodgers who brought up the point about how Dillon isn't just a straight runner now plowing in. He's really started to use his moves. He started to make cuts and spin and all that kind of stuff. And that's making him far more dangerous as a runner.
Yeah, he's been a different guy, and he's only getting better. He's got to hold on to the football.
Yes.
He almost had a fumble tonight. He was down.
Yeah.
He almost had a fumble tonight. That's the one thing. But he responded from having three carries and two fumbles against Washington to lead the Packers in rushing tonight, 16 carries, 78 yards. And Matt LaFleur said that he talked to him after the Washington game, and the conversation was real quick. He said, you got to flush it because we're going to need you. And he knew at that point that, yeah, they're going to have to run the ball. He had no choice. He didn't have a choice to make to put him in the doghouse. They needed A.J. Dillon, and he responded to it. So that's good for a second year back. This was not a game that the Packers were supposed to win. The Packers are not supposed to win this game in this setting with everything going on this week. They were not supposed to win this game, and they did. And it really, they're 7-1. There's 5 1-loss teams in the NFC. It is a ridiculously loaded conference right now. It's hard to decipher who's who. You have to put the Packers, right? There might be, especially if they can get healthy, they're second to nobody. This team could ever just get healthy. My goodness, I'd like to see what they can do if they're healthy. What do you make of this? Because they weren't supposed to win this game. I thought they'd lose tonight. I thought they have a decent chance of winning at Kansas City with all that's going on there. And then kind of, you know, off to the race. I think they can win in Minnesota. They don't know if Russell Wilson's going to play. The Rams coming in is going to be tough, but that's a L.A. team coming in late November. How long do the Packers carry this 7-game winning streak that is now officially the longest winning streak that they've had under Matt LaFleur?
I don't know, but I know that this game was more important for them to win than next week's game because this could come down to home field advantage in the end. Anytime you play an NFC team, the same is going to be true when they play the Rams. You know, they've got to hold these teams. They got to beat these teams, and that's what they did. I'm surprised, shocked. I didn't think it was going to happen, and I could see them losing in Kansas City next week, but I don't think that diminishes what they did here, and it was a really important win.
I think it's the best win in Matt LaFleur's head. He's won some playoff games. They were at home. Those are bigger wins.
Yeah.
I think this is the best win that Matt LaFleur has had.
Yeah, it probably is, given, you know, what they had to work with. And my brain is fried right now, so I'm not thinking about many of the other games. But I do think you're probably right about that. They had a really good game in Minnesota when they clinched the division. Was that 2 years ago?
That was a good win in 2019, yes.
Yeah, that was a huge win. But
Aaron Jones had the big run. MVS had the block.
That'll be for next week's podcast.
Now the Packers get to rest. And you know what? I'm looking forward to a little bit of rest myself. I don't know about you, Tom.
I am ready for a weekend off. It would really be nice. Packers don't create any news.
Yes. Just go peacefully into that weekend night and let us be, and we'll all see each other again next week
yes.
for Kansas City, which you've got to think the Packers are going to be in a much better place. It can't be possibly in a worse position to win a game than they were this week and tonight. So you would think that things are on the up and up now. Make sure you follow Packers News for all your coverage of this classic of a game, another classic in the desert, as well as full coverage going into Kansas City, Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. Think that'll get any interest?
Yeah, that could be a pretty good game.
A little bit. Until then, he's Tom, I'm Ryan. Thank you, everyone, for listening.